Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
This guy's name just is, I gotta say, is pretty funny. This guy, of course, everything is gonna freeze on my thing. It's perfect. I love you, Safari, you absolute horrible thing. Ex-college grid star was stranded in a kayak for hours in the Gulf of Mexico off the coast of Florida. He said he threw his hands up and screamed. He's an Alabama native. His name is Chris Smelly. Mr. and Mrs. Smelly's son came. The Smellys. Smelly family. He played for University of South Carolina. And he took his kayak out in Grayton Beach, Florida. He thought it would be a short fishing excursion. And he left without a phone or life jackets. Encountered heavy winds. Was swept 8 miles off the coast. Couldn't return to shore. And they had to go out and save him. He was wearing, you know, dark clothes, and his kayak was in dark colors. So super smart, right? Chopper sent out. Coast Guard got him. He was reunited with his family. He's fine, but good grief, you know. Think when you're doing this stuff. Take some stuff with you. Iowa law enforcement arrested a Florida dude because they found a pound of meth in his vehicle. Methed up. He looks like it. I mean, if you're going to find a pound of meth in a guy's vehicle, it would be this guy. I mean, he looks like the guy who would have it. They did a probable cause search of the vehicle. He was speeding, driving erratically, and they found a pound of meth. He's from Winter Haven, Florida, and he faces lots of charges because he had prescription drugs, all kinds of stuff. He was had the intent to distribute because he had a lot of it, obviously. Let's see. We had the Florida alligator thrown off the roof like 2 weeks ago. We're not going to do that one. This guy, this Florida man, he's underage in BC too. He was accused of having a loud party atop of a construction crane in Naples. I don't know how that happens. How do you have in Naples, Florida? He had a huge party on a crane.
On a crane.
On a crane. Residents called Naples police and they said, "We are seeing some weird stuff. There's a giant party happening on this construction it's a crane at a construction site." And they went there as 18-year-old dude. Loud music. Apparently they were able to get the people to come down from the crane. They charged two people with misdemeanor trespassing. Of all the places to have a party, like why is it at a on a crane? I don't know. And a Florida woman was caught on a doorbell camera stealing Easter eggs off of a porch. 5:47 in the morning, Pasco County. So she's the Easter Grinch now. Pasco said that the county sheriff's office said they're investigating after they got numerous reports of items stolen from homes in this area. Nobody knows why she decided to steal Easter eggs. I don't know. They haven't identified her. It's Kel-Tec, the Sub-2K. This is the Gen 3 version of the Sub-2K. And this is an awesome 9mm carbine. It folds in half, like literally just like folds right in half. You just optics and all, you just keep them all on there. And a simple twist and fold motion of the patent-pending rotating forend. You can twist it in either direction. It just quickly and easily deploys it as well. But there's a lot of upgrades to this. Upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics. You got a light and 5-pound pull. You also have improved accuracy for follow-up shots. Upgraded action, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open. Everything for improved manipulation. New chamber indicator. Family-owned, USA-made everything company right in Florida. Kel-Tec, made in America, and they make some really innovative stuff. You have to check out the latest version. It's shipping now. Shipping right now. The Gen 3 Sub-2K. Learn more about it at KeltecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. So in Scotland, they've passed these hate speech laws, which is stupid. It's now hate speech, however they want to define it, is now illegal in Scotland. A new law went into effect. And the new law is garbage. It's punitive towards truth. It's the Scotland Hate Crime Act. And they said that it was passed because of the T of the alphabet, right? It is one of the most restrictive things that I have seen And J.K. Rowling, author of the Harry Potter series, who has been waging a war against the Transtifa people. I mean, she's been clearly illustrating how this can be weaponized to just go after women. I mean, you can't say that women exist in Scotland. You can't just really just say that. That's to the exclusion of men who are pretending to be women, and so you can get in trouble for that. It's the Hate Crime and Public Order Act, and they said that they want to provide greater protection for, like, the Transtifa. But if you criticize gender cosplay, you're in huge trouble. I mean, you could be investigated if you misgender someone online, which is a fake word. Misgender is so stupid. If you call a dude, and he doesn't want to be called a dude, then you could get in big-time trouble by the nanny state government. No joke. So J.K. Rowling's like, come and arrest me. Because it's a ridiculous bill. And a lot of people have been, they've been protesting. I mean, you can't say that a man can't become a woman. You can't say that over there now. If you so much as, like, make a joke. They said a family text or a dinner table joke could land you in jail. It's true. I mean, it is a sinister law that the aim of which is to completely obliterate free speech. That's what the aim of it is. When the bill was going through the Scottish Parliament, the PM was asked why there was no, they called it dwelling defense. And they said that it's a safeguard that they have in other legislation that protects you from being litigated against, you know, for something that you say in your own home. Their prime minister, Humza Yousaf, said, quote, are we comfortable giving a defense to someone whose behavior is threatening or abusive, which is intentionally stirring up hatred? Are we saying that it's justified because it's in the home? So they tried adding, the conservatives in Scotland tried adding a dwelling defense, and they were defeated. So even in your own home, you can be persecuted for stuff that you say in your own home. That's totally, absolutely true, 1,000%. So if, like, you can be, I mean, you can be prosecuted for this. If it is considered to arbitrarily stir up hatred, and that's not the Scottish Prime Minister, that's the British. If it is found to be intentionally stirring up hatred, then you, and then think about this. If you're inciting, what's the definition of incite? What's the definition of hatred? What's the definition of hate speech? Because it's all arbitrary. It all comes down into how progressives define it. For crying out loud, in this country, I had sitting members of Congress calling me a domestic terrorist, which has legal consequences, by the way, simply because I supported Second Amendment right of self-defense. No joke. J.K. Rowling went on this. She went on a rant yesterday, highlighting some of these Transtifa activists / criminals. She said, lovely Scottish lass and convicted double rapist, Ela Bryson, found her true authentic female self shortly after she was due to be sentenced. Misgendering is hate, so respect Ela's pronouns, please. Love the leggings. She said, Scottish woman and butcher Amy George abducted an 11-year-old girl while dressed in female clothing. No idea why this was mentioned in court. Of course she was wearing women's clothing. She's a woman. Amy took the girl home and sexually abused her over a 27-hour period. I mean, these dudes, the photos that she shows, they are men dressing as women, and they all look like Silence of the Lambs. It puts the lotion in the basket and wears the skin type of dudes. Samantha Norris looks like literally a nightmare come to life. Samantha Norris is cleared of exposing her penis to two 11-year-old girls. Hooray! Unfortunately, she was then convicted for possession of 16,000 images of children being sexually assaulted. I mean, you transgender in the Scottish legislation, and the reason I bring this up is because the leftists want this here. The legal definition of transgender in the act is defined so ambiguously. It is so broad that if a dude chooses to wear a dress that day, has a beard and everything else, that's protected. That's crazy. It's not a crime to incite hatred towards women but it is a crime to incite hatred against men who dress as women. That's this law. This is criminal law. This is Scotland's parliament trying to tell people how to think. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And the left wants to bring that here to the United States. I mean, there are no, they're just destroying protections for women. I mean, I'm almost speechless. They have people have been protesting. But what are you going to do? It's already, you get the government that you voted for, right? You get the government that you voted for. Now, in the meantime, in Australia, let me pull this story up for you. Elon Musk is suing Australia's government after they have an e-safety commissioner in Australia. Go figure that one out. Australia demanded that this post written by this Canadian guy named Chris Elston, he quote unquote misgendered an Australian citizen. They demanded that the post be taken down. And they told X that they would fine them $800,000 if they didn't remove the post. And the guy that was criticized, Teddy Cook, excuse me, is a woman who cosplays as a man and has demanded taxpayer-funded surgeries for all transgender Australians. And this female who cosplays as a dude, Teddy Cook, was appointed as an expert to the World Health Organization. I'm not even kidding you. So they told Musk, your ex has to take this down or we're going to fine you. And Musk turned around and sued him. Good. They said they're mounting a legal challenge to protect the user's right to free speech, as they should. They said, but the Post criticized an individual appointed by the World Health Organization to serve as an expert on transgender issues. So, nope. So the e-safety commissioner, apparently they said that if it all follows through, the challenge will likely take the form of a judicial review in federal court. And X is currently engaged in a separate judicial review in federal court with the e-safety commissioner. And now it's just wild. It is just crazy. They're like, you can't misgender someone. You can't make decisions. Shut up. You're a chick pretending to be a dude. Step off. Done with this stuff. If you don't absolutely affirm my mental illness and affirm my self-perception, then I am going to punish you. Now, that doesn't sound like you live your life, I live my life, does it? That's what these people have never wanted that. They will break your damn knees to bend them.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/R-A-D-I-O, radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So So Health and Human Services tells hospitals to get patient consent before invasive exams. Wait, they had to be told to get consent? What? It's from The Hill. It says hospitals have to obtain informed consent from patients before physicians can conduct sensitive and invasive examinations like prostate or pelvic, anything like that. Particularly if the patients are under anesthesia, they said. That they didn't have to before? That's kind of weird, right? Oh, okay. Well, yeah, all right. Hospital, oh my gosh, this is a horror mix-up. I can't even believe this is a headline. I mean, I can now, sadly, in this world. A hospital carried out an abortion on the wrong woman in a horror mix-up. It was a healthy woman. She was 4 months pregnant. She was excited about being a mom. She was given anesthesia and a kind of uterus surgery, which led to her miscarrying. And then apparently, they said translation difficulties. The woman didn't speak Czech well. And apparently they operated on the wrong person. I cannot even believe. And they get into that. It's a big old long piece over at the Metro about how they were having difficulty communicating with her. And the and they said this is a British paper, and they say Asian, but that to me reads Middle Eastern, because that's how they, this, so it's a Middle Eastern. They said there were two patients and they were both Middle Eastern, and neither of them spoke English well or at all. And so when they say Asian, that's what they actually mean over there. That's horrific though. Oh my gosh, this is horrible. Let's see, tornadoes and snow possible, spring storm system moving across the United States. I mean, it literally goes all the way up from Ohio all the way down to the Gulf. It's huge. And they're saying you're going to get some crazy, unpredictable weather with snow, obviously, in the north, and then tornadic activities. Get some of them tornadoes. 40 million people from Texas to New England were under National Weather Service watches last night, mostly related to the storm as it moves towards to the east. Steve, are you expected to get anything? Like any kind of snow? Or you guys don't really get tornadic weather out there, do you? Yeah. And then a section of California Scenic Highway number 1 collapses in a storm. That's kind of scary. There was photos of people. It's right on the coastline, inching around it near Big Sur. Very scary. All right, coming up, this horrible story out of California. We're going to discuss that. Stick with us. So did you guys see this LSU stuff? I don't follow women's basketball, so I can't tell you what's on. So LSU-Iowa game. And the team, apparently, the Iowa players held hands during the American National Anthem. And the LSU players left the court, apparently, before the anthem was performed. And they had video of it, and it shows the Iowa. But you don't see the LSU players leaving the court because they're just not there. And it shows the Iowa players out there. And then LSU lost the game 94-87. LSU head coach Kim Mulkey said that it wasn't intentional that they weren't out on the court. She said that she didn't even know when it was played. She said they have a routine for leaving the court at a certain time. Kane, when is the anthem usually performed at games? Maybe I'm mistaken. I mean, I've played a lot of sports in school. Right. Yeah, in the beginning. Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, before the game.
Right.
Is played. She said, Mulkey said, I honestly don't even know when the anthem was played. We kind of have a routine when they're on the floor and they come off at the 12-minute mark. We come in, we do our pregame stuff. She's like, I'm sorry, listen, she says, nothing intentionally done.
Kind of a routine to do the national anthem right before those sporting events. That's routine also.
And someone else said, LSU's never on the court for the national anthem. Apparently, they did this last year during the national championship game via Red State against Iowa. And some said that there are other teams that did it as well. It doesn't sound like a lot of people are buying it. I mean, who doesn't know? Like, really? Like, when you know when they're going to play the anthem.
Right.
Come on. You know when they're going to play it. Why is your routine structured in a way that doesn't include being out on the court for the anthem? I mean, I've never been to a game where the anthem did not kick off a game. Right? Have you, I mean, think about it for a minute. Have you ever been to a game where the anthem didn't kick it off? No. I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. But was it done on purpose for, because I don't even know what they would even be protesting. I don't even know. I don't know. Steve, did you watch a game, or you're familiar with this, right? You're familiar with, I mean, they said LSU's never on the court for the anthem.
I did watch the game. Them not being out there was interesting because I was trying to look for both sides of the scenario, but if you look, the whole crowd is standing and all the referees and all the officials and the media is all there, and they're the only ones not out there. So I'm like, who didn't get them? Because usually in the locker rooms, there's a clock, like a countdown that tells you when the game starts. So I don't know why they wouldn't have been out there.
That is weird. So, I mean, speculatively, is this a way to avoid for them to, are they doing the protest thing for the anthem still, and this is a way for them to avoid it?
It looks like that.
Is that preferable to then taking the knee? I mean, if you're going to have a protest, I just think, you know, I prefer, you know, a peaceful thing that maybe encourages discussion over burning down, you know, historically black neighborhoods during, you know, summers of blaze. But at the same time, I take issue, like I did the first time with the anthem stuff, I took major issue with the reason why people were protesting, because it was based upon a lie. It was predicated upon a lie. It began with, oh, well, it's because they're trying to argue that police kill more black assailants than white assailants. And that actually isn't the case, especially when, and we went through all of that. You can go back in our podcast archive if you would like to, but that's actually technically not true. And that was my issue. It's like, well, if you're going to protest something, then make it something that is factual, therefore worthy of that protest, because it's not based on a lie. If you're upset about policing in the black community, then make that an issue about advocacy for improving that relationship. But don't claim that you want to help a situation by beginning the advocacy based on a lie. And that was my whole objection to it. So I don't know if that's more of this or what. It seems like a cop-out. It does. It seems like, how is that not part of your routine? And as Steve was saying, when everybody's standing and they're all out there, it just looks weird, right? It's just weird.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.